Our scripture today is from Psalm 46 and from the Gospel of Matthew. May God add his blessing to our listening and to our understanding of these words of abundant life. From Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. And from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In the spring of 2016, I did a Sabbath project. I was working most weekends, and I decided as a New Year's resolution to keep Sundays free to be able to attend church in person. I called it my Unplugged Sundays project because I also tried to take a weekly break from my computer and phone. I continued this practice for 6 months. During that time, my Sundays were a lovely pause in a very hectic life, like submerging myself in a cool, clear lake, restorative and calming and just what I needed. This past February, I decided to revisit this practice for Lent. I planned to stay off my computer and phone, except for work, and to use the extra time to handwrite letters to friends and family. I wanted to take time to let each person know how much I valued having them in my life. I usually scroll my phone when I have my morning coffee, but for Lent, I tried something new and subscribed to a daily Lent devotional that I planned to read each morning. I did great for about a week, but as we all know, something else was at work. About 10 days in, I found that while I was still off social media, I was now spending hours each day tracking COVID statistics. I am a nurse practitioner caring for fragile cancer patients, and it is my job to be informed, but this went beyond. I was in no way having an unplugged Lent. Probably the best gift I got from my 2016 project was realizing that to find God in your life, you need to make space for him. Over the 6 months that I consistently practiced my weekly Sabbath, it evolved. I found that to truly benefit, I needed to not only do things like attend church or take a walk, but I also needed to not do things. I needed to make space for God by leaving time unplanned. When I did my errands and chores on the other days of the week and left Sundays free, I had a real break and the benefit stayed with me all week. Without feeling scheduled and rushed, I became more relaxed and present in my life for myself and for those I loved. The weekly reset reoriented my thinking and gave me clarity. Fast forward to March 2020. It was still Lent. I was still reading and listening to my daily scripture, but many aspects of my life had changed. We were in the acute phase of the COVID pandemic. I was going into the hospital every day. We didn't yet have adequate PPE. A trip to the grocery store was terrifying. In early April, a week after a routine well baby check, my new grandson had 2 days of fevers to 102. He ended up being fine. It was likely just a regular baby virus, but it was so frightening at the time. Lent ended up being a very stressful time for me. I was basically in fight or flight mode the entire time, as I'm sure many of you can relate. 6 months later, at least in the Northeast, we are lucky. We are no longer in acute mode, but have passed into a more chronic phase of this pandemic. We now know that this is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. Uncertainty is going to be with us for the foreseeable future, and I know that I need to make regular time again to unplug. So today, I am giving you the sermon that I need to hear. I learn things from my patients all the time, and one of the best lessons has been how to live with uncertainty. We have made tremendous progress in cancer research in just the last 15 years. Many cancers are now treated as you would treat any other chronic illness. This is a good thing, but it also means that my patients spend many years living with uncertainty. The patients who cope well don't fight it or deny it. They acknowledge uncertainty, they respect it, and they continue to live their lives alongside it. They make peace with uncertainty. This is also my approach. When there is something in my life that is big and scary and out of my control, I try to focus on what I can control. In the case of all the uncertainty I am living with right now, I have tried to aim for a sort of détente, Uncertainty is always present, and I have a healthy respect for the ways it may upend the future. But once I have done what I can and have set my course, I try to shift my focus to things that are real and certain right now in my daily life, the things I can control and the things I can enjoy. And I try to help my patients do that as well. After we talk about where we are in treating their illnesses, my patients and I talk about other things. They tell me about their time in the military. We talk about gardening and grandchildren, puzzles they are doing, their pets, summer drives. This is not just chit-chat. Having a good understanding of what a normal day is like for my patients helps me to know how they are doing in a holistic way. Recently, I have been spending a lot of time on telephone visits. Now that we can't see each other in person, my patients and I have realized how much we value the relationships we have built over many years. I call some of my elderly patients weekly. A longtime patient now signs off each phone call with, "Thank you, I love you, I just love to hear your voice," and it feels like a blessing. Another patient relies on our weekly phone visits to help him manage his anxiety about non-urgent symptoms and questions that come up during the week. He has the equipment to check his vital signs at home, and if they are okay, he writes the symptom or question on a piece of paper, knowing we will talk every Monday. He basically parks his worry on that piece of paper until we talk. This enables him to lessen his anxiety and has kept him safe at home. Early on in the pandemic, I was concerned about the impact of social isolation on my elderly patients, and I reached out to my colleagues in mental health. Together, we created an initiative I call the Friendly Phone Call Program. Patients are offered weekly phone calls to assess for needs and offer support. The calls are mostly a social visit and are therapeutic for both patients and staff. They have become a virtual safety net, helping us to identify problems early and alleviate loneliness. There is a theory that describes relationships as a third space, a new entity that is created when two people have a relationship, this thing that exists between them. When we are grounded in God's love, this connection, this third space, can become a sacred space. Creating and nurturing these connections channels God's love. Listening can be healing. When we first switched from face-to-face clinic to a virtual clinic, I was a little worried because I had to assess my patients without a physical exam, no stethoscope. I started intentionally asking more open-ended questions to be able to listen to them talk for longer periods of time. I wanted to hear if they were becoming short of breath while talking. Listening closely to their tone helped me to assess their mood. It turns out that if you are still and calm and listen closely, you can get a lot of information, even if you aren't face to face. This is true in our relationship with God as well. We do something called a review of systems in medicine. It is basically like asking a person, "How are you?" 20 different ways. Riding out this period of uncertainty well will depend on all of us staying as mentally, physically, and spiritually well as we can. So I encourage you to set aside regular time to ask yourself how you're doing. Do your own review of systems. How is your breathing? How is your mood? Are you sleeping okay? Are you eating healthy food? Does anything hurt? Make time to ask yourself, how am I right now? Do I even know how I feel? Do I need to ask for help? And then be open to whatever flows back to you. Unclench your emotional fists. Take some deep breaths. Sit in the stillness and notice how you feel. I teach new nurse practitioners, and one of the most important lessons I have tried to impart is how to come into a patient's room with an open mind and listen. The tendency these days is to get lost in a sea of information in the medical record, not unlike the sea of COVID information we are all drowning in. But once they have reviewed the chart, I tell my students to just set the chart aside, along with any preconceived ideas they may have. Just park them at the door and go in and meet their patient. I tell them to sit down at the bedside and spend some time getting to know them. I tell them to ask open-ended questions and just listen. Inevitably, they are surprised that the person in the bed has little in common with the patient in the chart. I think that this is a good lesson for us as well. Stay grounded in facts, acknowledge the information and the gaps, and then set aside your worries, your fears, and your preconceived ideas and listen. Notice what is real, what is right in front of you. Focus on what is certain. God's love is certain. That is the big certainty that is central to our faith, and it is our emotional and spiritual foundation. But there are other smaller certainties that matter and are life-giving. The sound of birds in the early morning, the rustling of leaves when the wind blows, the gentle sound of rain. I have been reading the words of Howard Thurman, a theologian who lived through the civil rights movement, and I am finding comfort in his writing. He calls God the timeless frame of reference. And this reminds me that when we are drowning in information overload, we can temporarily lose that frame of reference. One evening this summer, my husband and I were listening to the news during the early days of the protests, when police were clashing with protesters, when it seemed possible that our country was on the verge of martial law. He turned to me and said, "What do we do if that happens?" And I took a deep breath, and these words came to me: "Be still and know that I am God." I didn't know right then where the words came from, but they clarified my thinking and reminded me that God was still God, and my job was to focus on what was in my control. And this really helped me then and now. So how can we create intentional pauses in the daily craziness of life to reorient ourselves? I find that creating both a dedicated space and time for quiet reflection, even if it is just 10 minutes each morning, really makes a difference in my life. It helps me open myself to God in a very concrete way. My husband has a daily gratitude practice that helps him stay oriented. Each morning when he opens the curtains in our room, he looks out the window, greets the day, and takes a few minutes to thank God for his life, for our marriage, and for our kids. It takes just minutes, and it stays with him all day. My daily Lent readings worked well for me because I didn't have to plan. I just had to make the choice to click the Lent reading in my email rather than the newsreel on the other part of my phone screen. And this was a life-giving choice. I realized in writing this sermon that the words that came to me during the conversation with my husband were from Psalm 46 and had been one of the daily readings for my Lent practice. The context of these words is that the God of the Old Testament is calling on his people to stop their warring ways. But when they came to me in that moment, they didn't feel like a reprimand. They felt like my spiritual GPS had kicked in. I was oriented. I knew where I was in relation to God, and it helped me refocus on what was in my control. Right now, particularly for those of you with small children, an entire unplugged day or even an unplugged hour is probably unrealistic. But I encourage you to plan a little window of time for yourself. Take time to sit with yourself and listen, even if it means sitting in your parked car in the driveway. Maybe you need time to grieve the ways your life has changed. Maybe you need to let go of the tasks and the to-do lists and all the ways we are having to pivot just for a few minutes and give yourself grace. Maybe it will help you if you just close your eyes in the evening and spend 10 minutes listening to the crickets. I felt as though I went through the first 100 days of the pandemic with my whole self tightly clenched with all the things I needed to manage. It is life-giving now to make regular time to take some deep breaths and remember that God is still God. Our faith teaches us that we can come to God as we are, and we are held and we are loved unconditionally. And this is a balm for our exhausted spirits. Years ago, I was having a conversation with my cousin Nan. Nan and I were close in age and were both single working parents of teenagers. She was going through treatment for cancer, and I was spending a lot of time visiting with her in the hospital as I trained to become a nurse. I had just brought Nan a cup of tea, and we were having a conversation about nothing much, her being a tea drinker and me being a coffee drinker, and Nan asked me, "Where do you sit when you drink your coffee?" And this seemingly innocuous question really made me think, because at that time in my life, I never sat when I drank my coffee, unless it was in the car, on the way to work, or to drop my kids off at school. I was in a season where taking time to sit in the morning wasn't part of my day and didn't seem possible. And Nan told me that she had a special place in her home where she would enjoy sitting and drinking her tea each morning. She always made the time. "I set a timer for 10 minutes," she said. And that was a life lesson for me, because if Nan could make time for herself with her schedule in her life, why couldn't I? And I will tell you that there have been times in my life where that 10 minutes in the morning, sitting with my cup of coffee and listening to the birds, have sometimes been the most peaceful and calm and life-giving moments of my day. I encourage you to try it. Take 10 quiet minutes for yourself before the day starts. Pick your favorite spot near a window, listen to the birds, set a timer if you have to. When I was younger, I thought praying meant having the right words. But as I have gotten older, I find that prayer for me mostly involves creating a quiet space and then just listening. If we make space for God, God meets us where we are. Maybe there are some words that help you calm down and become centered. I am finding peace in regularly thinking about today's scripture. I read the words and my blood pressure drops, but there are many ways to pray. I will leave you with this beautiful poem by Mary Oliver. Praying. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence into which another voice may speak. Amen. Gracious God, how good it is to come together on this beautiful day. We are so grateful for this loving spiritual community and for the time and space to let go of our daily routines and just exhale. It is a confusing time for us, God. Sometimes it feels as though we are surrounded by fog. We can just barely see a few steps ahead of us, and we don't know what is coming. Help us to know that no matter what, you are always with us. Help us to feel your loving spirit today and in all our uncertainty. Amen.